Hello, it's Wednesday, the 21st of February, 2018, and welcome to episode 64 of Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I'm your host, Tom Pringle, and joining us today is our interview king, John McGee. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm not sure about how I feel about being dubbed the interview king. I prefer the banter king myself.
The top bants king.
Yeah, that's me. That's just me in a nutshell. When people think of me, they think about, you know, giving people wedges and pulling people's pants down.
Well, you're sporting a bit of a hipster beard there. I'm quite liking it as well. I'd hate to say it, but I actually like it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been born of sheer laziness, so I couldn't be bothered to shave for a few days. And then it got to a point where it had grown to a length that actually shaving was a bit of a mission. So I just haven't bothered. One of my colleagues said I look like Ed Sheeran, so I might shave it off. Which yeah, I don't.
We flew in back from Bastion. I say we did. A crew from our squadron flew in back from Bastion. By the sounds of it, he was very nice, but he also slept for a lot of the time as well and didn't really chat to anyone. But, you know, he's probably been out there and been pretty busy playing music.
Good for him for doing that. He comes across as a very pleasant young man.
Yeah, it was lovely. He's supposed to be very lovely. I didn't really chat to him, but the girls did, and they liked him a lot. So loads has gone on today. Not today, this week, since last week, whenever we podcast last. Lots has happened in the baseball world. The free agent market has finally started moving. I think the one that really tipped it over the edge was probably Wade Miley joining the Brewers. that really got everyone started, if we're honest. We've got lots to talk about. So we asked for some questions, and we've had so many questions that I think we might actually just stick with the questions, but then we'll probably expand and go in a different direction.
Should we just talk about the Red Sox, because we don't have any Red Sox questions, because we said you better ask us questions or we'll just talk about the Red Sox. But you know, it's pretty significant. They have signed JD Martinez, and Dave Dombrowski sitting out the market was right. So that's pretty significant. It's a big deal. You know, everyone knew it was going to happen, but it's actually happened. And I feel a bit sorry for some of those other pitchers in the AL East these days. So Chris Tillman's going to be he's going to have a good ex-FIP this season, isn't he?
I think it's – I remember reading a load of our follower Jed Tigers UK, who just kept talking about how good JD Martinez was. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really take note of it that much. But when you dig into his stats, he's really fucking good. He's got some serious, serious power. I think probably the only worry, and a minor worry, would be him staying on the field. But if he's DHing quite a lot, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. You're absolutely right about the AL East pitchers getting a bit scared. But remember, the AL East are doing their interleague play this year against the NL East. So we get to see JD Martinez destroy the Marlins as well, which would be fantastic.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, JD Martinez, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge against Dan Straley and the Acolytes, which, you know, sounds like a really awful 1950s boy band.
Is Brad Ziegler still on the Marlins?
Yeah, Brad Ziegler still is on the Marlins. He might be starting at this rate.
Did Tozawa end up back in the Marlins or not?
I think Tozawa's finished. I think he's no longer there. If he is, goodness grief.
We're starting the podcast talking about Marlins relievers.
Stars, you mean to go on, yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right about the Martinez sign. It's incredible. I think because we all knew it was coming. But I think some of the moves, sorry to make this Red Sox already, but fuck it. I think some of the moves that have happened for the Red Sox have been pretty key. I think bringing Mitch Moreland back was getting themselves out of the Eric Hosmer race and ignoring all of that and just getting somebody steady in there who's going to platoon the position with Hanley. And between him and Hanley switching over on the DH role, and then maybe Sam Travis coming in, but I don't think that's going to happen. It doesn't seem to be very likely.
Sam Travis is rubbish.
Yeah, he's not great, is he? He's been hyped quite a lot in the past, but I haven't seen it personally. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't exactly watch Pawtucket every week. So
he's basically a poor man's Hosmer. He's a singles hitting first baseman. Without the clubhouse leadership.
But that's one of the intangibles that the Padres are paying for. Remember, that's one of the things you just can't quantify how good it is.
Yeah, I was even in this deflated market, was quite surprised at the size of that contract.
It's heavily front loaded, which I'll be honest, I'm glad the Padres have done, because then at least they're not going to be paying for it later, like the Will Myers contract.
Yeah.
But the big concern for me and the Padres is the fact that, well, the rotation shit, but the big concern was really Will Myers and the fact that they really touted him as the big guy. They put him as their clubhouse leader. They said that they gave him the big contract and the extension, and it was all going to be amazing. But clearly it's not, and he's not the clubhouse leader, because he's quite happy to step aside and let somebody else come in. He's not kicked up a fuss about it. He's complained in the past about playing the outfield and saying that it's boring and he gets bored out there. So he's now saying, oh, yeah, it's fine, I can go and play in the outfield. But I think he's essentially just kicking around and waiting for his extension to kick in, and then he's going to be happy because he's got, what, 2 years left on $8 million a year, I think, is something, and then it goes up to 20. $20 million a year, and he's toss. He's not even that good. And power hitting first basemen are pretty much 10 a penny. They are kicking around quite a lot, and you can get somebody for a year or 2 years maybe.
Alan Craig. No,
they decided to sign Will Myers to an extension and now sign Eric Hosmer as well because he's a clubhouse leader, and he's not even that good.
He's good at scoops, though, and so you know, that's an intangible.
Number one in scoops.
Yeah. I think we should move on to questions, to be honest. Before we get you off the long run-up on Eric Hosmer, having looked through these questions, there's probably a couple where I think either of us are going to have some strong opinions. So let's move on to them.
I will have no opinion on this first one. So Paul Holland asks, what's your take on the Rays trading almost everyone on their roster? So seeing as I have little opinion, you go first, John.
Well, what do you want my take? Do you want my take as a Red Sox fan, or do you want my take as a fan of baseball more broadly?
Let's go baseball broadly, and then we'll both do Red Sox together.
Well, surely, yeah. The latter, unfortunately, is more straightforward because it's good, right? the poorer that the Red Sox opposition are, the better.
I was just going to laugh heartily. Yeah.
If I were a Rays fan right now, I would be pretty distraught. By the way, did you say that the Rays have released their own official blog this week with a rather unfortunate name? Have you clocked that?
No, I haven't.
Well, they now have their own Tampa Bay Rays blog, which is called Ray Tank. Because, you know, obviously that's a place where you would find a Ray.
Even the blog is committed. It's like Tuck in Hell. They've just decided to call it that for something stupid to go, this is going to be miserable. Come and read it if you want to read about misery and laugh at Clayton Richard's face. That's it.
Yeah, I was surprised when I woke up this morning and I saw the Sousa trade. The Longoria one, I understood because he's getting old. He's not very good anymore. He's still good, but he's not peak Evan Longoria. They traded him for a decent quality asset in Christian Arroyo, who's team controllable, and he's not going to pull up trees, but he's going to be okay. But that one this morning, I was, and Jake Odorizzi again, you know, he's a fringy sort of third starter.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. By all accounts, the prospect they got back from the Twins, whose name I can't remember and I know nothing about anyway, because my name's not Darius, is quite good. But that's it. The Caesar one really did just indicate to me, you know, we have literally given up. No, I penny for the thoughts of Chris Archer on that, because, you know, he's been, you know, as a clubhouse leader, he's been bullish in spring training. We're not rebuilding. We're not tanking. We're going to compete. We've got a lot of talent in the clubhouse. Well, you're a very talented player, but who else after this morning? I mean, Sousa's a more than a league average player. He was good. He was good last year. Very good, actually. And you can see why the Diamondbacks have moved quickly to pick him up in lieu of missing out on Martinez. But Can you even name another good player on that Rays team? You know, that Morrison's a free agent, Longoria's gone, Sousa's gone.
Kevin Kiermaier, that's probably it.
Who?
Kevin Kiermaier, that's probably it, isn't
it? Oh, of course, yeah, sorry, my bad, Kevin Kiermaier, yeah. That's it, so it's Archer and Kiermaier.
I can literally name no more. That's me done.
Archer is right that they do have a lot of talent in the clubhouse, but unfortunately, it's two extremely talented players and literally nobody else. And Malik Smith, who wears a zero on his back, which is the level of his projectable talent.
And I know, because Rob Navarro believes he's going to, I think, what was the bet we had? He's going to steal more bases than Bennington hit home runs.
He's going to steal more bases than he hits home runs?
No, then Malik Smith's going to hit steal more bases than Benintendi's going to hit home runs.
This season?
Yeah.
That could be a wash as a bet. I know that Malik Smith is very quick, but I don't know an awful lot else about him.
Well, my thoughts were, he's not going to get on base much because he's not going to play much, but unfortunately, they've just got rid of everybody. So the depth chart at the moment for the Rays in right field says Malik Smith. That's it. So he's going to play. So unfortunately, he'll probably end up on base sometimes. He's probably going to get a stolen base. So I think I might have lost that bet.
It's just yet another X against the Florida baseball community. You know, these people have got their own league.
Yeah.
They've got oranges. They've got grapefruits. They've got lots of spring training facilities. They've got the Tampa tampons. And they've got two appalling Major League Baseball squads. I mean, are these teams so awful because everyone in Tampa is so old? Do you think that there's a correlation?
Do you know what? I flew out of Tampa recently and looked down, and it was only when I looked out of the window of the aircraft and realized how far away St. Petersburg is from Tampa. It is bonkers. It's no surprise that nobody goes there. And they call themselves the Tampa Bay Rays. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's a city in its own right. But it's just...
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah, it's just basically in amongst retirement villages. You know, you can't get a golf cart to the ballpark, can you?
Well, maybe they should do that.
Maybe that's what they should do. Down to the Ray tank. Come on, your golf buggy day. Because that's how you get around, and you've got those orthopedic shoes on. Free entry for people with orthopedic shoes.
Well, did
get them down.
Speaking of free entry, did you notice that Derek Jeter was asked about allowing kids to get in the ballpark for free to Marlins games, because then it would encourage parents to go along, because they're going to take their parents. The parents are going to take their kids to the ballpark. And at least the kids are going to watch the team. It might not be great, but they might grow up and actually get a connection with the team. And what did Jeter say? Everyone who enters the ballpark has to pay.
Yeah, I did see that. I rolled my eyes. He's not a marketing professional, isn't Derek? You know, I had to hustle for every single RBI single that I hit. And those kids are going to have to hustle for every single Marlins game that they get to see.
Which will be none, because they're not interested and they don't get it for free.
What an absolute prat.
I've just realised...
Bloody melon, and he's an idiot.
I've just realised, though, the Rays will be absolutely fine. And we're talking about all these big hard hitters in the AL East. And the depth chart, third base, and the second position down. So backup, really, is Ryan Schimpf. So, of course, the hard-hitting, high launch angle, home run, strikeout, or ground out machine will... He'll be there destroying.
What's the over or under on their ground rule doubles caused by Ryan Schimpf hitting the roof? 21.5.
I'll take the over, definitely. Right. So what was the question again?
The Rays? What's your take on the Rays? I feel sorry for you, Paul, in a way, because it's awful to watch a team who are actively trying to be awful. But at the same time, you know, this is a comedy. This has been a comedy baseball team for quite a long time. No one goes to watch them. They play in a spaceship. They've got a blog called Ray Tank. What were you expecting? Your uniforms are stupid. They've got good retro uniforms this year, so they do at least have that going for them.
The faux backs are fantastic. What a great idea. We haven't got a retro uniform, so we're going to make one up.
Yeah. Anyway, should we move on from the Rays? I fear there may be some more Rays questions. Maybe we can come back to this if we have any further thoughts.
I think there are. So Jeff Enderby asks, has any of the team got plans for a game stateside yet? He said he's booking Mets at Petco. And Yanks at Angels this week.
Yeah, Jeff. So Jeff is my brother-in-law, was my brother-in-law's best man at his wedding.
How do you literally know everyone that follows us? It's ridiculous.
I didn't know Jeff before he followed us. He and I have never met. But he lives in Mexico City, and he is a huge Mets fan and has been for a long time. And my brother-in-law, Dominic, he was my brother-in-law, Dominic's best man. And I put the dots together when Jeff followed us. This blonde-haired man called Jeff, who lives in Mexico City. There can't be many of them. Is this Dominic's friend, Jeff? Yes, it is. So, did you not know that about that coincidence? So hello, Jeff. Thanks for the question.
And you're Jeff.
Yeah. So yes is the answer to your question, Jeff. I am going to a number of games this summer. I'm sure Darius will be at some point, but he's keeping coy about it. And I don't know if MLB are going to send Ben again, given that he's in Pyeongchang until, you know, time innominate. Probably not. I mean, he probably have frozen to death going down the bobsled or something. So Ben won't be going to any more baseball games ever again, as far as I can tell. But yes, I'm going. So I'm going to be in Boston in June, the first week of June, and I'm going to go to see 4 Red Sox games. I'm also going to see 2 New Hampshire Fisher Cats games, because as you know, I just cannot get enough of those Blue Jays double A's games. Yeah. I'm going to see some Blue Jays games, but I'm mostly going because they play in Manchester, and obviously I live in Manchester, so I thought it would be quite amusing for myself.
Manchester!
Yeah, I'm going to turn up in a parka. I'm going to get the Gallagher haircut, and I'm going to walk in behind home plate, and I'm just going to go up to the manager and go, "You all right, our kids?"
Just a pure look of confusion on their face. Like,
don't Hacienda! I live around the corner from the Hacienda, by the way. It's apartments now. I'm going to Manchester for 2 games to see the Fisher Cats with their excellent caps. I'm going to Boston for 4 games. And then I might go for a 5th game. I haven't decided yet. But I might go and see the New Britain Bees of the Atlantic League. It depends whether or not I get to see Chris Sale in the 4 games that I have currently booked, because I've got a bad feeling that I'm missing the first game of a 6-game homestand after an off day. And if Sale misses that, then I want to make sure I catch him at the other end. Then I'm going to San Francisco in September, because my best friend from uni's going to work out there for Twitter. We're going to visit him, and I'm going to go to a game at AT&T, probably the Dodgers, but possibly the Padres, depending on what time we go and what's the best date. It's going to be one of their last 2 series of the season. So hopefully we'll manage to get tickets. But with him living out there, it should be okay. My girlfriend, Jeff, who you know, Zoe, cannot wait for that. That's going to be a highlight of her trip.
has she ever tried to watch baseball with you?
She came to see a Red Sox game with me a couple of years ago, and I think she quite enjoyed it, but she didn't understand what the hell was going on. She kind of enjoyed the paraphernalia that goes with it. Like, she didn't know that there was an organist and found that absolutely hilarious. There was, in classic American sports fashion, an overambitious, overzealous, and totally unnecessary marriage proposal just in the middle of the game. So she found that very amusing. And she was quite tickled by the number of Japanese students who were taking pictures of Koji Uehara and Junichi Tozawa in the bullpen. And one of her brilliant observations on the night, having seen Junichi Tozawa on the Jumbotron, was that he definitely gets his eyebrows threaded. So that was her main takeaway.
I do love comments like that. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So with the Blue Jays AA, what are they called? The River Hampshire Bulldogs.
The New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Right, the River Hampshire Fisher Cats. So they're is Babe Bichette going to be down there, and Vlad Guerrero Jr., is he expected to be in AAA this year?
I think they're expecting for them to start in High A, according to our Blue Jays watchers, because I did ask a friend of the podcast, Mike Shipley, if I was likely to see those 2 studs, and he said possibly. By that point, they might be in double A. I'd be disappointed not to if I get there and I'm watching, you know, Bo Dallas and Vlad the Impaler instead.
Might be quite good, though, at hitting.
You just get the ball stuck on the end of his lap every time. Ground ball singles.
So with your San Francisco games then, so it's between Dodgers and Padres. Mm-hmm. So Dodgers, you might get to see Kershaw and Justin Turner and Puig. Whereas the Padres, you might get to see Clayton Richard.
And Alan Craig.
That's it. Just the ace, Clayton Richard. Oh, Alan Craig might be there. Yeah, that's a good point. Then again, September call-ups, you might get Urias and Fernando Tatis Jr., who are highly, highly, highly rated in the system.
Tom, I don't care.
I do. And anytime I can mention it on the podcast, I will. Because you will all learn that in 2020, the Padres will be competing.
I just want to see Madison Bumgarner hit a bomb into the McCovey Cove. That's all I'm going for.
Oh, that'd be good.
And to get a picture with the Willie Mays statue.
Oh, good shout. Good shout. So for me, have I got any plans? No. I have two small children. My wife doesn't work. There is no chance of me going to America until I'm at least 50. So unless work sent me there for free, then it's not going to happen.
And we all know from last time you tried that.
Yeah, it was, don't remind me. Sad times, sad times. If you want to know what happened, go and listen back to episode, I don't know, 22. I'm just picking a number at random. That'll do.
That was a good one.
It was. So Chris Brown. Friend of the show, he asks, with Hanley Ramirez following the TB12 workout plan this offseason created by Tom Brady, who in MLB should release their own workout program and what would it focus on? Now, let's not go for the obvious answer of Bartolo, because that's clearly what everyone was thinking we were going to go for. So let's get creative with this. So who should release their own workout program and what would it focus on?
So I have an answer to this, which is based on my last trip to America, where I watched quite a lot of MLB Network. And on that show, on that channel, I'm assuming it might still be there, there was a very regular advert with Madison Bumgarner in it for Carhartt clothing, which I'm relatively partial to because they do a lot of check shirts, in which he was doing a lot of lumberjacking, basically. A lot of chopping logs with a big axe, a lot of carrying huge pieces of wood and being pretty rugged. So I think that would get you in trim if you were doing the Madison Bumgarner lumberjack yokel workout. How about that?
As long as there's no dirt bikes involved. I think
don't go on the dirt bikes.
Never go on a dirt bike. I just want to check.
You want the season off.
Yeah, true. What was also quite funny, though, was I can't remember which game it was. Was it against the Padres or Dodgers? Where there's a brawl happening and there's that clip of all the Giants players jumping over the fence to run into the middle and get involved. Oh, it was Harper and Hunter Strickland, wasn't it? Of course.
Yes.
So all the players were all jumping over the dugout to get involved. And poor little Madison Bumgarner, who was not allowed to enter the field of play because he's on the DL, just had to stand there and watch. And he was desperate to get involved.
My other suggestion was the Alan Craig workout where you basically channel your sadness into trying harder. Try and turn negative emotion into positive emotion.
Just sitting on the bus in AAA with your headphones on and not talking to anyone and just going and just counting your money in your head slowly, dollar by dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take the workout that Rugged Odor even, Alcides Escobar, Freddy Galvis, Eric Hosmer, and Joey Votto take, because they all completed every single game last year, which is incredible. All started every game.
Wow. And some of those players are good. Rougned Odor is not one of them.
No, he is. Well, he was dog shit last year, wasn't he? And he had a great...
Absolutely awful. He is, in my opinion, the most overrated player in baseball.
That's a great shout.
Terrible.
We need to get people tweeting in and giving us their answer on that, because that would be very interesting. I would do a Google Doc with a writing answer, but you'd all spell it different. I'd have to manually edit every single one, so that's not going to happen. But yeah, Votto, that's incredible. 162 games.
The big man.
I love him. I can't get enough of him. The Reds put out a GIF recently of the man that everyone loves to hate or something, and it's just him going to throw a foul ball into the stands and then just throwing it on the floor in his pocket.
Throwing it on the floor.
He's so good.
Seen that. It's great.
Right,
next.
Rob Navarra, friend of the show, asks, what do you think is going on inside the free agent training camp? It must be a miserable place full of sport. He says sporty, but I think he means spotty. Spotty kids finally knowing what it's like to get picked last. Oh, no. Okay. Sporty kids finally knowing what it's like to get picked last in PE. Brackets. Of course, they'll still get millions rather than a wedgie. I think free agent camp is now a bit dull because all the good free agents have gone. There's just Jake Arrieta standing there looking around going, agent, you sure your phone's working? Is the just check your phone? Is it working? Have you had any messages, any emails, anything? But yeah, even like Wade Miley's gone. Jake Arrieta must be staring, going, hold on a minute. Wade Miley was here recently. Why am I still here?
Is there like, do you think that because this has been run kind of at the last minute, do you think that they've maybe made some mistakes in how they've set it up? Like, for example, like the equipment they've got for pitching is like golf pitching wedges. And like Jonathan Lucroy, they've got a station for him to work on his framing, and it's like just some bits of wood and a few G clamps, and a few prints of the Mona Lisa. There you go, Jonathan.
I don't want to think what
is happening. Definitely, Lucas Duda is injured. That's what's happening in the free agent camp.
Is there any ex-Mets starting pitchers there? Because they're definitely injured and just infecting everyone with injury.
Yeah, I don't know. This was my question. I was going to come back to you. Other than those three people who I've just mentioned and Logan Morrison, who is there? Because not even Carlos Gomez is there as of.
Yeah, he's just about been
an hour ago.
Yeah, let's see. So Jake Arrieta. Who did the Red Sox lose last year? There's nobody special, was there?
Jonathan Lucroy, Logan Morrison, Lucas Duda. This is it. That's all of the and then a lot of relievers, basically.
Well, the way it was described on Effectively Wild previously was that there was so many because of the strike that they could play games against each other. But maybe this camp was more of a workout, so a bit of a pitchers and catchers and BP rather than playing against each other. But I can't imagine there's a fucking fuck ton of minor league free agents kicking around at this camp with Jake Arrieta, and he's going, I don't want to pitch to you. You are dog shit. This is not going to help me.
Jake Arrieta is not at the free agent camp. Can we just be clear about that? That is not where Jake Arrieta is right now. He's probably in some facility in Arizona somewhere, hooking weights or pushing one of those weird trolleys that you put barbells on that everyone in baseball seems to shove about.
Just to clarify, the bits you're talking about, obviously the framing station for Jonathan Lucroy and the pitching wedges. I don't want to think what they've got for shagging in the outfield.
Shagging flies. Some old fella's just gone, what?
Got the memo, just staring at it going, no.
For shagging flies, equipment for framing I can do, pitching, get down the pro shop. Shagging flies? Move on.
This is one I think we'll like. Mets UK, brackets Les, who's one of the two that runs that account by the looks of it. He says, if MLB is planning to have games here in 2019, which I'm assuming will be one of the hottest tickets in town, should we campaign for MLB UK to ensure that fans that have been keeping this game alive in the UK for the last 30 years can get tickets? Maybe a pre-sale for at-bat subscribers. I see where Les is going, but I don't think that's at all possible.
It might be, you know, it might be. If you are going to, I don't know, the One Direction reunion tour and you're on the One Direction mailing list, you do get an email a few days before saying buy your One Direction tickets. But so it's conceivable and possible, but I saw Les's question earlier, and whilst I totally understand his point of view, and I totally see where he's coming from, that it would be a real shame if people like Les and you know, you and I to a lesser extent were unable to make those games. I don't think so, you know, because it's not really about us. You know, they're not coming here for us. They're coming here to try and find new fans.
Yeah.
And to give people a really interesting experience and to sell jerseys. I'm not one to sort of differentiate who's a better fan than the next. And whilst I know where Les is coming from, and Les, I really hope you do get a ticket, by the way, and I'm absolutely sure that you will. That's not really what I'm about personally. So
yeah.
I don't think we should be campaigning for it, but we should maybe be, you know, sitting on the edge of our seat trying to get tickets as best we can. If I understand correctly, on the NBA, there is some sort of, you can sign up for a pre-sale type thing. And if you've been before, then.
Yeah. So the pre-sale exists, and it's literally put your email in and we'll email you about the tickets. So this year, which was probably the first year I've actively tried to do it, 'cause it's been when two decent teams have come over. I tried to get in there on the pre-sale, couldn't get onto the website, couldn't log in whatsoever. And then all of a sudden all tickets sold out. Within about half an hour, tickets were on eBay. And it was just so disappointing to see. But it wasn't private resellers. It was StubHub. And they were like tripling the cost of the tickets. And those tickets stayed there right up until tip-off. And it's like, that's a real shame, because people who wanted to go and wanted to do it couldn't get there. I think the advantage that MLB and certainly the NFL have is their stadiums are bigger. Simple as that. Like the O2, I don't know, was it 30,000, 40,000 or something?
Yep.
Whereas Wembley's pushing 75, 80. So you can really sell those tickets. And they, towards the end, they're having to like start giving away those tickets or doing 2-for-1 offers with the NFL.
Mm.
Not to say that we're struggling, but clearly they wanted a full stadium. And I think depending on where MLB put it, I mean, if they put it in the Olympic Stadium, then fantastic, because they can get what's in there, 60,000, something like that?
60,000. And if there's two games, that's 120,000. I think they'll sell it out in year one.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. And if they don't, I think there's going to be a lot of school kids tickets, a lot of giveaways. There'll be a lot of things like tickets for troops. And they'll fill it because they want to fill it. And if they get people there, they're going to sell concessions. They're going to sell jerseys. You could get people going to the game. Bloody it. We
know. You see that they're advertising for 3 more people in the MLB office in London, which is, you know, marker of something. Somebody spotted that. I hadn't spotted it. So head of content, a marketing manager, and an international events officer. So yeah, they're expanding the team, which is good. You know, it shows that things are clearly happening behind the scenes, doesn't it?
I fly in my job, so that's international marketing manager. that one. What were the other ones? Head of content.
Head of content. Yeah, get yourself in there. GIFs. Pablo Sandoval photoshopped.
I think we know somebody who's good at GIFs, so he could do that.
Yeah.
What was the last one?
He's busy. He's in Pyeongchang. Oh, yeah. I was international events officer or something, and marketing manager. So ran two of them together.
Marketing, that's all your shit, isn't it? Don't you do all that?
No.
Oh. Okay. So Joseph Owen, he asks, sorry, we're going back to Rays. What are the chances of me playing on opening night for the Rays? At this rate, I'd say likely. I agree.
Yeah. You're definitely better than Malek Smith, and never mind Malek, you're better than all of those other Rays players who we don't know. They don't even have Mikey Martuk anymore, and he's crap.
But they have got Ryan Schimpf.
Yeah.
Schimpf cocktail. He's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ian asks, what are the chances that Noah Syndergaard steps on a worm on opening day and misses the next 3 seasons through inexplicably grazing his knee in the ensuing melee? Go Mets.
How is there going to be a melee if it's a worm involved?
I didn't get it. Is he fighting a worm? Is he fighting a family of worms? Or do people come across and just start attacking him because he's fallen over?
I mean, it's quite conceivable if Noah Syndergaard trips over a worm, I might get in there and like stick him on the shin. So if I'm there, probably.
Why? Do you not like Noah Syndergaard? Where's this come from?
No, I like him, but I just like, you've tripped over a worm. What are you doing, you knobhead?
And then you'll kick him in the shins.
Deserves it, mate.
Jesus. Right, should we move on? Rob Navarra.
Again.
He's back. I do like Rob. He provides a lot of our content. I'm going to read this verbatim because I'm quite happy with it. Pablo Sandoval, traffic cone. Great stuff. I prefer if you said lovely stuff, but we'll go with great stuff.
Great stuff, my left boot.
You didn't like it? I thought it was funny.
Yeah, but, you know, it's been overexposed, mate.
What are you on about? Anyway, If you were to draft a street furniture transport equipment team, what would be your top picks?
Are we looking at what types of traffic furniture would we have at what position, or which individuals would be like certain elements of traffic furniture?
I was thinking along the lines of what traffic furniture do you like? Even anything to do with baseball.
Okay. Well, you'd probably have a giveaway sign as a third base coach. It's always sending people around.
The first base has got to
possibly
be
a stop sign. Depending. Yes.
One of those stop go flip boards that just go that a man.
Yeah. A lollipop man with a stop go. Why have they not got the lollipop man with a stop go flip board?
Have you seen stop go boards recently? I was shocked the other day when I drove past one. They're all automated now, with one man in the middle with a box just pressing a button, and each end turns individually.
No.
So that's a bloke out of a job. That's a real shame.
No to robo-wumps. What other types? I can drive a car, but I don't drive a car regularly, so I'm maybe not the best person to ask this. So I'm going on things that I see around the streets on a regular basis. Where would a manhole cover play?
Is that street
very good? Maybe catcher if it was open.
Yeah. I like just generally, not even anything to do with baseball. I like the power of a zebra crossing, because all somebody has to do is stand next to it and cars stop. There's no lights or anything going on. It's just the power of the zebra crossing stopping cars. I think that's incredible.
That's really great stuff. couple of Belisha beacons in the outfield that they'd be catching, wouldn't be able to move, but they'd be catching better than Hanley Ramirez. You could have a toucan crossing as your double play, because toucan. I think we need to move on from this, because I've already come up with far more than I feel comfortable with.
What about a railway crossing barrier? So when the pitcher pitches, whatever the pitcher is, it can go up and just hit fly balls constantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good launch angle. I like it. I see what you've done there. What would the pitcher be? Possibly some, not a piece of street furniture, but one of those, like a cement mixer, maybe. Good slider.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's good.
You see a lot of them on the streets, don't you?
Take the cement out, clearly.
Yeah. Enough of that. Rob, you've got something wrong in your head, mate.
Jonathan Young asks, do you think Stanton and Judge can both hit 50 home runs in 2018?
Yes.
Very possible. It's also very possible they both get injured. It's very possible that they both regress.
Do I think they will? Probably. They are good.
I mean, it kind of pains me that they're on the Yankees. But then, I mean, deep down, I don't actually care. Like, if they win the World Series, they win the World Series. I know Red Sox fans won't like me saying that. But if they win the World Series, they win the World Series. Fuck it. It's still baseball. And it's still enjoyable. And it's still fun to watch. But I think if they're on another team, I could enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah.
Paul Holland is back. He's noted a tweet that Rich Eisen sent. Rich Eisen, the NFL network guy. He said, there's an idea being floated in MLB of a manager being allowed to bat whoever he wants when trailing in the ninth. MLB exec, quote, no other sport has the best player sitting on the bench in the final minutes of a game. Imagine LeBron, Brady, Ronaldo watching from the sidelines, end quote.
Well, he spelt Ronaldo wrong.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It's quite conceivable that Ronaldo could be watching from the sidelines if he's injured.
Yep.
Or if someone has decided to take him off.
Yeah, maybe they went 3-0 up and they took him off, and then they went behind 4-3.
This is bollocks.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone in two-footed on a couple of people about this pace of play stuff this week, because I really don't see mound visits changing the complexion of the game, but this is just stupid. Why do you need to do this? Just
The thing is, though, they're looking to try and shorten the game. So let's say a team is losing in the ninth and they're losing by 2 runs. A man gets on base and then Joe Girardi then. Aaron Boone decides to bring Giancarlo Stanton back to the plate after he dropped him out of the outfield earlier on in the game and bring him back to the plate, and he hits a home run. And now it's 2-2 again. And now you're going into extra innings and now the game's going to continue. So the idea of trying to do this is just ridiculous. Once the guy's subbed out, that's it. You can't start bringing people back in. There's going to be some sort of technical workaround where people are going to leave people in the lineup for the first at-bat, then take them out, save them for later on in the game, bring them back in. No, don't like it.
What's the point as well? You know, imagine LeBron, Brady, Ronaldo, notwithstanding that that's completely wrong and Messi's better anyway, watching for you bring your best player back in at the end. Baseball has its own equivalent. Like, it brings in the best pitchers in the game to come game in the final inning and makes it really hard for everybody else. That's the way that baseball works.
Yeah.
Dod off.
The fact the idea is being floated and the MLB exec has not even
it's
named.
It's a floater. It's like when you can't flush something down the bog. Never mind it's been floated. Someone's put it there and it won't go away because it's shit.
Well, no, that's the pace of play, pitch clocks, mound visits. That's the one that won't go away.
Carry on. Just enough. I've wasted enough of my breath talking about that stupid idea.
Charles Baldwin asks, more likely to happen, Yankees and Red Sox win 95 games or more each, or the Rays and Marlins both lose 100 games? But we'll come on to his second question afterwards. He's got another one as well. I think it's unlikely, highly unlikely, that Yankees and Red Sox both win 95 games. I don't actually believe there's enough games in the season for them to do that.
No, because they're both in the same team and in the same league and they have to play each other 18 times. So it's definitely the latter, but I understand the semantics of the question. He's like, what's more likely? Are both of these teams going to be really good or are both of these teams going to be really bad? And even notwithstanding the fact that the first one is mathematically impossible, the second one is definitely more likely. I think both the Red Sox and the Yankees will be brilliant, but I think it's highly conceivable that both the Rays and the Marlins lose 100 games.
I think out of the two, the Rays are going to be much better than the Marlins, and I think by at least 10 games.
Yeah, I could hear an argument for that.
Bear in mind that the AL East and NL East are going to play each other, so we're going to have games where the Rays and Marlins are playing each other.
Ugh.
That's fucking horrible. So the second question Charles Baldwin asks is also, which team in your opinions would be more fun to watch out of the Braves and the Phillies? I really like the Phillies, and I think they've taken quite a few steps forward in this offseason and looking a lot stronger. Moving Freddie Galvis is probably one of the better things they've done to try and get Crawford into that lineup. I really like the way the Phillies are going. The Braves seem to still be stalling a little bit, and I think they're stalling in terms of starting pitching, but I don't know.
I don't know about any of those pitchers. I just don't know. They need a couple of them to hit. I mean, Teheran is what he is. He's a number two starter. He's going to be a number two starter for the rest of his career. Foltynewicz, or however you pronounce it, he's pretty good. They need some of the Colby Allards, the Mike Sorokas, and so on to break through. I think the Phillies rotation is much more interesting. It's got higher upside in pitchers like Teran and Akoff. And their position players are just fun. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to watch a team that's got Odubel Herrera on it with that haircut?
Exactly. Yeah, I'd go with that. I think the as you say, the Braves pitchers have really got to pick up this year. There's Sean Newcomb is the interesting one from last year. He was a real flamethrower, and I was quite interested to watch his starts. But I think the big concern really was Dansby Swanson, the fact that he really, really didn't pick up from the end of 2016. We had a decent end to the season, same as Benintendi. And then him and Benintendi were supposed to be pushing for the their Rookie of the Year candidates. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Aaron Judge existed, and so did Kobe Bellringer. But Dansby Swanson really, really needs to up his game. He was not good last season and even got sent down at some point as well.
He did.
Okay, where are we at? UK Cubs fan asks, what length of contract and salary can Arrieta really go for? realistically go for? Considering Darvish got 6 years, 122 million, are we saying just over 100 million if a team offered the same length of contract? I'm not very good at contracts. I don't know about you, John, but I kind of look at it and like the Hosmer one, I'm more looking at it in the sense of, oh, that's good. They front loaded it and left the load at the end. I don't really know what he's worth. I think I'd have to look at SpotTrack and really work it out. So I don't know. Over 100 million sounds about right, but 6 years, that sounds quite a lot.
Yeah, but Jordan Zimmerman got 110 million over 4 years, and Ian Kennedy got 80 million over 4 years, and Jake Arrieta is better than both of those. So I think, yeah, you're probably looking at somewhere in the region of 95 to 100 million, possibly over 5 years. Was my sort of ballpark guess on that, given where Darvish has benchmarked the market, possibly even pushing up to 110, maybe. Things like opt-outs, player options and stuff will probably sweeten the deal. My fear for him is just who is his market? Who needs that pitcher now? No one needs him now. Some teams may need him in 2 years, and he might be crap in 2 years.
It's interesting because, like you say, the Twins have sort of sorted themselves out now. I know they've got Odorizzi, and it's not great, but they've obviously got... Sorry, I was going to say Darvish then, but they didn't get him, did they? Cubs got Darvish.
Never may.
I don't know. I mean, are you looking at the Twins, the only real option now? Where does he go?
Phillies and Brewers, I think, are still probably in the game, even though the Brewers have signed your boy Wade. They've got a serviceable rotation now, but they don't really have a heavy hitter. The Phillies is the current hot tip. But they could be decent this year, but they're not going to beat the Nationals. And in 2 years' time, Jake Arrieta might be a pumpkin.
True. Very true. So Phil asks, who has the better hair, Thor, DeGrom, or Gesellman?
Well, DeGrom hasn't got hair anymore. So,
Has he shaved it all off?
Well, he's cut it short like Benintendi, and it looks better than Benintendi's. Gesellman has, I think. I think he's got the best flow, and it looks good with his beard. It's pronounced as well.
Mets, stop asking Jacob deGrom about his hair, is the first news article that I've found.
Not enough. Yeah, it's Robert Gesellman.
Is the
left field but correct answer to that question.
I'm going to go traditional and stick with Thor.
All right.
Lovely flowing locks. Finally, we've got our very good friend, Joey Mellows, who asks us, which baseball website / app do you use most frequently throughout the season for news and stats? I have only recently discovered MLB Trade Rumors app for the Android, and it is incredible, the amount of news they throw out there. So that's a new one for me that I really like, but how much I'm going to use it during the season, I don't know. I think for me, it's probably Fangraphs. I do like the Baseball Cube as well. It's a bit of an unknown one, but that gives you a lot of DL time and stints that what the players have gone on the DL for, rather than trying to search for the transaction logs. But yeah, it's mainly Fangraphs and, oh, of course now, The Athletic, which we all love and we've all subscribed to because it's incredible.
Yep, you've taken both of my answers. It's Fangraphs and it's The Athletic. The Athletic is just so good. Every single article I read on there is good. I feel I've already got my... It's almost better value for money than the £24 subscription to the Chinese Professional Baseball League's online video on demand platform, which I've paid for. I haven't got a clue what's... Well, I can follow the games, but I don't know what score it is.
Are you having to do your own scorekeeping?
No, that was just on the spring training game the other day. I can actually follow the numbers on the real platform. I have no idea what the names of the players are, not at all, apart from when it's an American.
And they just say his name.
Brian Woodall. Okay, fine. Yeah, I know who he is. But
look down the lineup and go, oh, there's Brian Woodall. I know.
Well, yeah, but who... What's the name of any of the batters? Because they're just, it's like their name is indistinct from the other words they are saying in Mandarin. words. I think it was Japanese commentary I watched the other day where I learned the Japanese word for strike, which is strike, and the Japanese word for diving catch, which is diving catch. hopefully I will learn some more Japanese and some more Mandarin across the course of this baseball season.
More later this week with John. What was I going to say then? The Athletic. I just love the app. It's so nice to read. I know it is just news headlines and stories, but I really, really enjoy it. It's so easy to go through and navigate. And it is just like a news website, but there's not fucking adverts everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Me saying that with adverts on our website now.
Yeah, not many of them. And it just flags, it says, it appears if you've already read it, so you can remember what you've already read, which is great.
Yeah.
Subscribe to The Athletic. This is our shilling now that C. Trent Rosecrans has been on our podcast.
do we get cut or not? I don't think we do.
I don't think we're getting a cut of Trent's salary, no.
I don't even get a free T-shirt, which I'm a bit pissed off about.
Oh, enough of these offers for people in the America's America.
Give us some, goddammit. We've run out of questions.
Mm.
That's it. We're done. And I think we've done about 40 minutes, 50 minutes. That's not bad.
Apologies, people, for taking 50 minutes to answer your questions.
And how long we spent on street furniture, I don't know. have you got any more chat or bants you want to throw out there?
No, I'm fully done now that I've got my my plugs in for the £24.61 Chinese Professional Baseball League VOD platform, which is a very high quality streaming service. I've fulfilled my commercial obligations, and I'm going to leave.
Okay. I really like the poll you've put out there for the Erie Seawolves on the Batflips and Nerds account. That's very funny. Asking for an alternate name for them during the food-based promo that they'll probably end up doing like all other teams. I do like the Erie Bangers and Mash. I was
disappointed that I didn't include Bangers and Mash. And I'm also slightly irritated that Spotted Dick is unsurprisingly the runaway leader because, you know, come on, we're better than that. You kind of have to put it in there because everyone would say, why have you not put Spotted Dick in? Because I've literally got the sense of humour of a four-year-old.
Well, that's what happens when you open up the poll to Blue Jays fans.
That's who I'm going to see, the New Hampshire Spotted Dicks.
Right, I think that's it. We're done. Check us out on Twitter. We're at @batflips_nerds. Facebook.com/batflipsnerds. Email any of us, Tom, Darius, John, or Ben @batflipsnerds.com. And check out the website, batflipsnerds.com as well. We've got a whole load of new writing up there. Joe Mellows is also going to be providing some excellent content. So keep your eyes open for that coming soon.
Joey's going to come on the podcast next week, hopefully, because he's going to Japan in a week's time to watch Australia versus Japan. And then he's going to go and see 100 professional baseball games this summer on three continents and in 4, possibly 5 different countries. So Joey's going to come on and tell us all about that. And yeah, that's going to be fun.
Joey's a lovely guy as well. His story is very interesting, how he's going to do this. I don't know how he's going to get away with it with his future wife, but we'll see. It should be interesting to watch. And you never know, the tragic story of the divorce at the end of it could be quite interesting as well to read. we've got a bunch of new writing. It's all good up there. I finally finished the survey and don't have to touch that anymore. I absolutely love doing it. I love the fact that you lot responded to it. But writing answers are the absolute, utter bane of my life. And I will never, ever allow those again. So, as I said, on my Twitter account, I'll get back to writing about James Shields or something to keep you all interested and get those numbers up.
You lucky, lucky people.
Thanks for joining us, John. Well, joining us. Thanks for you for joining us, the listeners. And John, thanks for joining me. Where can people find you if you want to tell them?
On the CPBL VOD platform.
So until next time, bye.
Bye.